Joshua chapter 20. The cities of refuge. I want to look at this in two ways. First, from the point of view of homicide. The Bible has a great deal to say about this question of homicide and how to deal with it. God is very clear upon it. Its importance is made plain throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis 9, for example, the covenant with Noah. It's quite clear in the first 7 verses. If a man sheds another man's blood, then his blood must be shed. The death penalty. Murder, of course, was the sin that figured so early in the history of men. Going to the other end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, no murderer has eternal life in him. Of course, a murderer can be forgiven, but John is expressed there. All the way through Scripture, Numbers 35, Romans 13, as I say, Genesis to Revelation. God does not tolerate murder. He does not ignore it. He does not glamorize it. The death penalty for murder, deliberate homicide, is clear in Scripture. It's not only in the Ten Commandments. It runs throughout the Bible. The law, though, and here we have it in the cities of refuge, the law was there to punish, yes, but to protect to a certain measure. To avenge, yes, the law would avenge. But the law was there also to protect, and that's what the cities of refuge are about. For God makes a distinction between deliberate, premeditated murder. Verse 5. He killed his neighbor intentionally. If that was so, then there was no way out. But if it was unintentional, and that's what verse 5 is about, and without malice aforethought, a different regime comes into play. For the deliberate murderer, Exodus 21, 1 Kings 2, there is no place of refuge anywhere. But this, in the cities of refuge, is to do with accidental murder. God established 6 cities, 3 on each side of the Jordan, where a man who had committed unintentional murder could flee so that his case could be decided before the avenger of blood, who had the right to kill him, could exact that vengeance. There's care for the murderer here. There's care for this man who has committed this murder unintentionally. It's not murder. It's homicide, unpremeditated. There must be trial, at least 2 trials, and care in consideration given. And care for the relatives too. They're all concerned. You'll see this throughout the chapter. Verses 4, 6, verses 3, 9, verse 6, and so on, right throughout the chapter. These principles of care for all concerned until justice can be exacted. And the cities of refuge provided that breathing space. I see these principles coming over into the New Covenant. 1 Timothy 2, Romans 13. The state has powers and authority, and it has the power of the death penalty. In my country, it's taken this away. I know the problems involved with it. I know the difficulties. And where there's any doubt, I would withhold the hand. But where it's plain, I know mistakes have been made, I confess that. Nevertheless, the principle is scriptural. The cities of refuge did not excuse premeditated murder, but it provided a refuge for the unintentional homicide. That's the first point I would make. God does not tolerate murder. The second point I would make from here is what the New Testament, the New Covenant, makes of this. Hebrews 6 verse 18. It's another striking example of the way we in the days of the New Covenant have to read the Old Covenant and apply it. The writer of the Hebrews is expressly open on this. You have fled for refuge, he says to his readers, these believers. You have fled for refuge to Jesus. Fled to Jesus for refuge. You get the same picture in Psalm 91. The little chicks going under the wings of the hen, a refuge from the hawk. So what do we have here? Well, sinners are in terrible danger. We're all sinners. And we're all under the wrath of God. It's not that we will be under the wrath of God. We're under the wrath and condemnation of God now. Where do I get that? John 3, verse 36. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. Even as I speak, every unbeliever, every natural man, every child born into the world, all of us are born under the wrath of God. After death, judgment. And after judgment, an eternity. Wrath and condemnation. That's why, of course, Bunyan in his Pilgrim's Progress opened it by the pilgrim fleeing from the city of destruction, looking for refuge. Where does it come from? Well, the picture is here in the Old Covenant. This is how we use the Old Covenant. These cities were literal. A man had to get inside the walls, and he was safe until his case could be decided. But the New Covenant takes this up and applies it to whom? To whom, do you notice? Not to what? To Christ. Not to a system, but to Christ. Christ is the refuge. And the message is clear. The principle is plain. The gospel is patent here. Here are we, poor wretched sinners. We hear that the blood of Christ will wash us from our sins. We hear that the righteousness of Christ will clothe us and present us faultless, free of condemnation in the sight of God. All we have to do, we're told, is turn from our sins, cast ourselves upon Christ, give up all our works and efforts, excuses, and simply flee to Jesus, trust him, ask him, call upon him, believe him, rely upon him, and we shall be saved. What can we learn from the cities of refuge? A man in those days was guilty. He could be killed on the spot. The only place of safety was one of these cities of refuge. He was not safe by knowing that there were six cities. He was not safe by having a map to the city. He was not safe by saying to his family, I intend to go. He was not safe by talking about it. He was not safe in traveling to the city and standing in looking over the city. He was not safe standing outside the gate. He was not safe standing at the gate and knocking on the door. It's quite simple, my friend. I address you if you're not in Christ. This man had to get to the city and get in the city and stay in the city. That's what this chapter tells us here. If he went outside the city, he was doomed. But if he got into the city, he was safe from the avenger. The principle is plain. Flee. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews says. Hebrews 6:18. We have fled. We haven't dawdled. We haven't drifted. We haven't talked about it. We've run to the city of refuge. We have run to Christ. We have fled to Christ. And we've come into Christ. There is no delay. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. Hebrews 3 and 4. Do not dawdle. Do not disobey. Do not refuse. See that you refuse not him that speaks. Again, that's in Hebrews. The Hebrews perished on the borders of the promised land because they did not believe and go in. Hebrews 3 and 4. And the writer is making the same point to us. We can know about Christ. We can go to chapel and church. We can preach Jesus. We can write about Jesus. We can sing about Jesus. But are we trusting Jesus? Are we in him? And is he in us? Outside of Christ is damnation. In Christ is everlasting salvation. Oh, I plead with you, come into Jesus for refuge, even now, from the wrath of God. Be clothed in his righteousness. Be washed in his precious blood. That's the only hope, but it is the hope. There is salvation in no other name. There's no other name under heaven given among men, given to men, whereby we must be saved. He is the way, he said. He is the life. He is the truth. He is the only way. There is no salvation anywhere else. Islam doesn't have it. Rome doesn't have it. The cults don't have it. Christ and Christ alone saves sinners. Have you come to Jesus? Have you fled to him for refuge? Or are you dawdling, drifting, dallying, holding back? There's a proverb in English, procrastination is the thief of time. In this matter, my friend, to dawdle and to delay is the thief of eternity. Your eternity. Delay no longer. I'll close with this hymn by John Kent. I've altered it slightly. A refuge for sinners, the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. This refuge for sinners, his love did ordain, in Jesus the Lamb, from eternity slain. And when God the Spirit revealed this to you, you fled then to Jesus, though hell should pursue. The soul that shall enter in safety shall dwell. There's no peradventure of sinking to hell. The oath of Jehovah secures him from fear, nor shall the avenger of blood enter there. Here's refuge for sinners, whose guilt shall appear as black as the confines of endless despair, who, stripped of all merit, whereon to rely, and taught by the Spirit to Jesus to fly. Should conscience accuse us, as oft times it may, here's blood that shall take its defilement away. In Jesus the Savior, the sinner shall view a city of refuge and righteousness too. It is true, my friend. Hell is gaping. Hell is waiting. I urge you, come to Jesus. But don't just view this city. Be a real Christian now. Call upon the name of the Lord now, and you will be saved. Do not refuse him. I plead with you. Do not refuse him.